Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
Ignition. Which one was that? Was that the minigame thing that they made for the second or the third one?
Yes.
It was the R. Kelly song, you dumbass.
All right. What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host,
that
Joe.
That was a better joke than I'll give you, that I'll give you credit for.
Oh, and Jacob has to just ruin the intro. Cole, how are you doing?
You know what?
I'm doing great.
You know what? Fuck you. I gave Cole an actual compliment for once.
You can't wait until I do an intro. You hear me doing an intro.
I don't.
And you're like, oh, I'm going to interrupt and say stuff.
That is a pretty good impression of me.
I got nacho fries, though.
You got nacho fries. Oh, they're back again.
The family brought me snacks. Isn't that wonderful?
Nacho fries are back again.
Fuck yeah.
Breaking news.
My family went to the caves today, and I didn't get to go. Because show. So they decided to stop Taco Bell for dinner. They brought me home. They brought me home nacho fries. And I loved. And I'm going to be eating these while we record. Because we already did this shit once for half hour. You just got to deal with it.
So we're just going to hear you in the background.
You goddamn right.
You goddamn right.
Goddamn right.
You darn tootin'.
Reminds me of that. Oh God, what was the Lynx 2004? That dog will hunt.
Oh, that dog don't hunt. That's a thing we say. Like legitimately a thing we say.
Oh yeah, no, it was. I just remember it being said in the commentary for the old Xbox golf game Lynx 2004.
Oh,
like you'd hit a really good shot, and the announcer would be like, "That dog will hunt."
Terrible. You don't say that dog will hunt. You say that dog don't hunt. It was a useless dog, like mine.
Well, apparently this dog was a good one, unlike yours.
There is no such thing.
There are plenty of good dogs.
That's because they can't just be good. They have to be best.
I don't know if I really buy that.
Well, I'm not
this
asking you to buy
it. This show sucks without me
Mr.
talking.
74 years of not getting Game Pass. Well, your opinions on what to and what not to buy are questionable.
Speaking of Game Pass.
See what I did? So good at this.
No, you're not.
Oh my God, we're all terrible at this. Let's get to the news. You mentioned Game Pass. A lot of Game Pass stuff going on. A lot of games joining Game Pass, and dare I say, there might be too many.
Too many?
It was funny the first time she referenced that we're re-recording. The second time, it wasn't funny.
No.
No.
I'm the only one allowed to be funny here.
What? No. Yeah. No, that's crap.
I have the best sense of humor.
No.
July 20th, we got Battlefield 5 joining the cloud. So that is now available via cloud streaming, xCloud, which I've been making a lot of use of, playing Yakuza Like a Dragon up in bed, just laying in bed playing on my iPad.
Wow.
Now,
my
do you
kids
have, like,
play the shit out of xCloud.
I take it you have some sort of controller that you hook up to your iPad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just have a normal Xbox One controller.
Where
it's
we only
it's
have
actually
two
my
Xboxes.
Series S controller.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where we only have the two Xboxes, the kids will, one will get on Sea of Thieves on the X, one gets on Sea of Thieves on the S, and the other one uses xCloud on one of the computers, and they play Sea of Thieves together.
There you go.
Yeah. Like having a bonus Xbox that I didn't have to pay for.
Good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Tales also joining Game Pass.
I really gotta check this out.
I am very excited about Chris Tales. This one has been on my radar for quite a while. The visuals are just jaw-dropping. I've put like an hour into it so far, and it is just one of the most beautiful games I've seen in a long time.
Joe, you recommended this to me because you said the art looked like something I'd be into. But it's got pointy anime chins.
Oh, Jesus. Get over the anime chins.
I can't.
Get over the chins.
Can't do it.
Wait, hold on. So do you have a thing against anime chins or just anime drawings in general?
It's the chins. The pointy ass chins. The chins look like they could cut a bitch.
Maybe they should.
Well, in that case, you wouldn't be on the show.
July 22nd, more games joining Game Pass. Atomicrops joined.
I like Atomicrops. The first time I played Atomicrops, I did not care for it that much.
No?
And then I played played it on Xbox, and I liked it a lot better because I liked the control scheme they used on console better than the one they used for PC.
Yeah.
Didn't you review that game?
I did on both. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, I did both times. So it was an interesting like conundrum that I run into where I was just like the controls on PC like were driving me mad and I just didn't enjoy the game. Hmm. And then playing it the second time around, I was like, "Fuck, this is fun," and I liked it a lot better.
Cool.
Mhm.
Well, now you can play it a third time.
Yeah, but now it's back on PC again, and I don't know if it's gonna have the good controls or the shit one.
Well, you'll find out.
Oh, boy.
Also joining Raji and Ancient Epic.
That's pretty cool. I'm excited about that.
Are you?
Yeah.
It's pretty.
That game looked pretty cool.
What tickles your fancy about that one?
I just really thought that the art style looked really cool, and it's just the gameplay that I've seen. So it's one that I'm definitely going to be checking out on Game Pass.
Which you can, because you now have Game Pass.
Yes.
Yes. Game Pass is great.
Finally.
I like how we also keep joining. Saying finally, but I've had Game Pass now for like 2 months at least.
Yeah, finally. Also joining Last Stop.
Oh, I have that one installed and ready to go.
What's that one all about?
Fuck if I know. I just know it's from Annapurna. So I'm here. You got me. Nice. That's all I need to know.
Wait, I thought it was about a train or something like that.
Maybe.
Last Stop.
All I know is somebody said, it's Last Stop, it's on Game Pass, it's from Annapurna. And I went to the Xbox website and I clicked install on my device. And I haven't had a chance to check it yet. But nope, it's installed.
I mean, I think it is on a train, but it's definitely not the game I'm thinking of.
No. Oh, well. Two games that you might be thinking of because they're retro games come in July 26th. Blinks the Time Sweeper and Crimson Skies High Road to Revenge, both hitting console and cloud Game Pass. Blinks, yeah, baby.
I don't know anybody that would get excited about Blinks. Like, at all.
The creator of Blinks is probably excited.
Well, yeah, because he's probably getting paid again.
Yeah.
He's like, I can afford rent this month! At the Red Roof Inn.
Oh, Jesus.
But, you know, Crimson Skies, though, I'm excited about that. I loved that game a lot back when it was out on the original Xbox. And I really wish that Microsoft would do something with the property. Actually, I'm not even sure that they actually own the property. I think they do, but I'm not sure. But, damn it, not I sure. just really want to know Crimson Skies game.
A lot of people are clamoring for one. Who knows? It's been... like, what, 20 years since we've had a flight simulator game, and that's coming out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, last year we got Star Wars Squadrons, so maybe, like, flight sims are slowly coming back.
Maybe. But yeah, Flight Sim is hitting Xbox Series X and S Game Pass July 27th. No word on the cloud. I'm sure, I don't know if that's a tech issue or what's going on, but hopefully that joins the cloud soon. I know a lot of people want to play that one, but, you know, not everyone has an X or S.
I'm curious to see Flight Sim put an X to its faces.
Yeah, I fired it up on PC, and it was really fucking cool. I'm excited to play it on console where I might be able to control it. I couldn't figure out shit on PC.
No, I can't play flight games. The moment something has flight, I'm like, I'm out.
The only reason I want to is because I want to take off from, like, my local airport, which you can do.
I don't don't even have a local airport.
Oh, there's got to be a town somewhere well, near you with one.
No, hold on. No, there's no like, town near her.
Sure, it's a good point. Not about 20 miles away, there is actually like a little hole-in-the-wall, one-man hangar type of operation.
Yeah, that might that be in the game.
Take off from. And that would be kind of cool, though, if that little hole-in-the-wall is an option.
Yeah. I know my local airports in Hazleton and Bloomsburg, they're both in there, and as far as I know, they don't do any commercial flights.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just local air stuff.
I would imagine Jaeger Airport in West Virginia is probably the closest big one they would have. That yeah, would be an odd surprise.
You never know.
Or maybe the one in Cincinnati. Way out there. Jacob's just laughing at how I say things, isn't he?
No, I'm actually laughing about how you have to like go to multiple states over just to get to an actual commercial airport.
I have to go to multiple states just to go to a damn grocery store.
Oh, that's beautiful. They also announced that helicopters are going to be coming to the game next year.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Wow, that fan is louder than I thought it was.
Well, then I guess I'm going to have a heat stroke.
Finally. I mean, not the way I wanted life.
Just aim it differently.
I did. I just moved it off the chair, so it's not pointing at my face anymore.
No.
It's not the way I wanted life to take Cole out, but you know what? I'll take a heat stroke. It's just going to take like 40-odd hours. I can wait.
That's okay. At least I'll die with nacho fries. You ain't got no nacho fries.
I could have nacho fries as soon as we're done recording.
But if I die slow and steadily,
you ain't getting there, huh?
Oh, no. What if the whole podcast just turns into, like, the Cold Death Watch?
24/7.
She's like, joke's on you. I'm going to die when I'm 75.
My name is fucking eternal, bitches.
You're stuck here for the next 30-odd years.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, July 29th, a couple more games are joining Game Pass. See, I told you there's too many games joining Game Pass.
Game Pass is great.
There are just too many. Lethal League Blaze is joining.
Okay.
Omno.
I'm looking forward to Omno. Don't ask me anything about it. I just know I like the look of it.
Yeah, Omno looks cute.
A trailer.
Project Wingman.
Okay.
Waiting for Jacob to make his joke this time.
Mm-mm. Sorry, I was eating a clementine with a mic off. And besides,
besides my nacho fries.
Yo, but all right, here's the thing. Last time I made the joke, Joe was just like,
it was a bad joke.
Yeah, it was a bad joke.
I wasn't going to try to make it again.
I thought for sure you were going to try.
No, I was just like, I'll just sit this one out. I'll just enjoy a nice clementine.
All right, enjoy your clementine because you won't be enjoying Project Wingman.
Fine. I guess.
Hey, Cole, did you hear what Project Wingman is? It's a game about bringing your friends to a bar.
Is it?
I hate you all so damn much.
And then The Ascent is joining Game Pass.
Okay.
I am very excited about The Ascent. This one looks fucking awesome.
The Ascent is one of those games that I thought was just going to be indie fodder for people like us who love indies. And then, like, people genuinely are excited for it. It's getting some mainstream attention to it. Yeah. The kind of people who are like, Triple A's are the only games worth your time are still like, oh, The Ascent looks awesome. And I'm sitting here going, apply that to other indies now. You can do it. You're almost there.
Well, there's three indies people should apply that to, and it's because they are leaving Game Pass at the end of the month.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so there's some sad news. Three games are going. It Lurks Below, The Tourist, and Undermine are all leaving.
Undermine is good.
That's a fun one.
Yep.
I want to play that more now. I think I own that one. I think.
I know I do, so I'm good on it anyway. Yeah, you reviewed it. If you don't own it, you can get a discount on it right now, and you should do that.
Get that Game Pass 20% off discount.
Mm-hmm.
I love when games launch with the 20% discount.
Yes.
Not all of them do, but some of them do. And when they do, that's usually when I bite.
You buy everything anyway. You're just like, that's a game true. I don't have. That's a game I don't have. That's a game I don't have. Now I have them all.
It's funny. I'm usually like that, but I'll scroll down the Game Pass library and it'll just be like tons of Game Pass logos of stuff I don't own because I could just play them via Game Pass.
I get amused when my husband goes through and he's like, I'm going to look for something different to play. And he goes to Game Pass instead of our library. And under every one, it just says owned, 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 owned. And he's like, how long have we had that? I don't know, like 3 years at this point. Pay attention. Bitches be working out here.
Yeah. Some big news. Dead Space was announced as coming back by EA at their EA Play event that they held today.
I have never played Dead Space.
You should fix that.
Yet another reason for me to judge you, Cole. Judge.
Judge Judy? Well, Judge indeed. Jacob.
I actually prefer Judge Mills Lane. Blast from the past, I know, but
wow.
I thought he was better. My wife kind of likes Judge Joe Mathis, although he's a little like he doesn't treat women particularly well. Like he has that old mm-hmm. guy attitude, and it's just like I don't know, I don't like him.
But yeah, anyway. Dead Space, yeah.
So I'm excited about the Dead Space remake. First off, the original game was great, but this one's being done by EA Motive, who also did last year's Star Wars Squadron. So I've got total faith in this project. I'm really looking forward to it whenever it freaking launches.
That is two Squadrons mentions this episode so far.
I thought it was only one because...
Because you mentioned right.
Yeah, with the flight simulator. Yeah, good point.
Squadron's getting some representation. Nice.
Well, you know, it's a good game. And also one that we got to review, yay, in case EA's listening, which we know they're not.
Dark Mika, very excited about Dead Space.
Yay. Crap, what was the other thing I was going to say?
I don't know. What were you going to say?
I don't know. I'm also hoping that they'll redo Dead Space 2 and 3. I mean, like, they weren't bad games, but it was just, I don't think that they were anywhere near as good as the
first one. I don't think they're redoing it. I think they're rebooting it. So,
even then, that's welcome.
Yeah, I don't think it's a remaster of the first game. I think they're just rebooting the franchise.
Also, going with our earlier question about Ignition, Cole, if you want to sing some R. Kelly right now.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Well, I thought I'd give you the chance. So I had that question about Dead Space Ignition, and it turns out that it looks like EA re-released it for Xbox One. So there's two different versions of it floating around for all you achievement whores like me.
Really?
Yeah, I just checked it because a while back I was in Marketplace and I saw Dead Space Ignition listed as being for sale, and I was like, I thought I already owned this. And I go to click on it, and it's still telling me that, no, you don't own this. And I just went up on the Xbox website into the Marketplace thing, and it's telling me I own that. But then if you hop over to the normal Xbox, you know, not the non-360 Marketplace, it tells me that I don't own it.
It says I own both of them, so I don't know what's going on with yours.
Yeah, but you probably bought
it. No, I didn't buy it twice.
You're like, no, this game ain't
that worth game. It. I don't know if I bought it once because I think it wasn't it free.
It was a pre-order. It was a pre-order bonus. If you got Dead Space 2.
I knew there was something with it.
But yeah, so I don't know.
We'll see. Some crazy news: Tencent is buying Sumo Digital for $1.3 billion.
Never in a million years would I see that coming.
Speaking of Dead Space Ignition, which was made by Sumo.
Was it?
Yeah, it actually was.
Sumo makes so many fucking games.
Yeah, they do. Or at least have a hand in them. Like, so Tencent's definitely going to be getting their money's worth with it. I guess you could say more than Tencent.
I'm hanging up now, bye.
Yeah, they had their hand in Hot Shot Racing, the recent Hitman games, Disney Infinity. They worked on the 360 version of Forza Horizon 2, which I found out is apparently still available on their storefront.
Wow.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 2 for the Xbox 360 is apparently still available to purchase.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we did that a couple weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
Wow, that's weird.
So that's weird because I thought it was delisted, but hey, slipped through the cracks. I bought it. Jacob got it. I don't give a fuck what happens now. So, some delays. Ubisoft has delayed Riders Republic to October.
I didn't even know it had a release date in the first place.
Yeah.
Let alone one like soon. So
Well, it's getting bumped to October, and then Rainbow Six Extraction is getting bumped to January.
That one I'm both surprised and not surprised.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but hopefully they'll make up for it with X Defiant.
They are not. They are not going to make up for it with no X Defiant. They said they were releasing Division Heartland this summer. And then they want to be out here like, look at X Defiant. I don't want that trash. I want Heartland. I want more Division.
Well, you're not getting it.
Cole wants more Elite Squad, which just got canned. Servers close on October 4th. So you can now have X Defiant on so many different platforms, Cole. Aren't you happy?
No.
X Defiant is on so many platforms, too. It's coming to Xbox One, Series X, Series S, PS4, PS5, PC, Ubisoft Kinect, Stadia, and Luna.
They could just like call it X Defiant and then subtitle it Please Like Our Game.
No, because please Like Our Game was the subtitle for Elite Squad.
Didn't.
No.
Shocking.
If you want to try X Defiant, the PC beta is hitting August 5th.
And then it's going to be delayed
on we hear
August
you.
15th.
Hello?
What?
Oh, God.
We hear you.
Like all of a sudden, everything just went dead, and now you guys are back.
We could only wish.
Yeah.
trust me, right?
Jacob going randomly, hello?
Right in the middle of my fucking sentence, dude. God damn it.
Well, I'm sorry, Cole. I'm sorry that I want to hear what you have to say. Forgive me.
Nobody believes you want to hear me. What's the next topic of news?
That's fair. Hold on. Because I still wanted to say, I feel real bad for the Splinter Cell fans, because up on Twitter, so many of them were assuming that the biggest announcement from Ubisoft was going to be a new single-player Splinter Cell. and everyone's just like, oh my god, we haven't had one since Xbox 360. Now's our time, guys. We're going to get it. And it's just like, poor souls. You're just like Mega Man fans every single time Capcom has their yearly presentation. My sweet summer child.
Poor bastards. So, Dying Light Platinum Edition was supposedly leaked as coming to the Switch. Not sure if you guys saw this. It is allegedly going to be releasing in October for $50, and it will have gyro aiming, motion controls, and touchscreen, as well as online play. Box copies will supposedly include a map, survival guide, and stickers. Yay. So if you want to put Dying Light stickers on things.
Yay!
No confirmation if this one's real or not, but it looks authentic. And if it's a fake, it's a really good fake image.
I thought I had saw confirmation of it earlier, but I guess I was wrong and I had just seen the actual leak.
Yeah. But I'm sure we'll find out more eventually. And if not, it's a really good leak or a really good fake.
Boom, so. PM. Yay. I wouldn't be surprised by it, though.
Yeah. It'd be fun on the Switch. I think it'd be a good one to take on the go.
It's scary, though. You don't want to be screaming like a bitch in the middle of wherever you're at. Like sitting at the doctor's office. Something comes jumping out at you and the god damn it. I have some trauma from Dying Light, if that's not obvious.
I played so in other words, you're...
You know, the funny thing is that I played it with Suda, and I'm not a big enough bitch to be scared, but he was, and he kept me anxious the whole time. Because I was like, I don't know when he's going to yell in my ear.
So in other words, you're okay with screaming like a bitch at home, but, you know, in public, not so much.
I like to put on at least a slightly more concrete facade.
Nice.
Of being a hard ass with my cane. I can't walk, but I'll at least tell you to go fuck yourself.
That's good. Nintendo is telling their fans to go fuck themselves. Nintendo is ending credit card eShop purchases on the Wii U and the 3DS in January. So if there's anything on the Wii U or the 3DS marketplace you want to get, don't wait, because you cannot do credit card purchases after then. You'll have to buy currency cards through whatever Nintendo retailer, and who knows how long they'll keep honoring those.
Is that kind of early for shutting down storefront support for a console?
For the Wii U, maybe not.
The 3DS, I think, is still early.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not closing the store completely. It's just you can't do credit card purchases.
I mean,
how else? I mean, other than how many people legitimately just buy the cards, though, and don't just purchase with a credit card? Like, if I go to buy some shit and I can't just put in my card, I'm like, well, I guess I didn't want that shit that bad.
Fair.
You know.
How about some sales figures?
Okay, I like numbers.
Doki Doki Literature Club Plus has sold 500,000 copies.
That's actually really impressive.
Yeah.
I would have figured everybody would already know all of the story beats to it and would have been like, But no, apparently it's found a new audience.
Yep.
That's good.
Monster Hunter Stories 2 has sold over 1 million copies.
For some reason, I feel like that's kind of low. But maybe it's an okay.
Not really. Well, that's pretty good. And it's a side story. So.
Yeah. So I guess in the end, it kind of balances out. Yeah.
And then Detroit Become Human has sold over 6 million copies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the last bit of news I have for the week is that the game Superhot VR has been updated on Steam. Remove all references to self-harm, and they plan to bring the update to all VR platforms.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So there was self-harm?
What was it?
There was a part of the game where you had, because it's a VR game, the controllers are guns, you have to shoot yourself in the head to progress in the one point, I believe.
Huh.
Yeah. And I think there was something else about having to jump off a roof. I'm not sure if that's being affected, but the whole shooting yourself thing is...
I'm not mad at that being removed.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, I can understand the removal, but I can also understand the people who are pissed about it and are mad that a toggle wasn't just enough. Because there was a toggle in the game to determine whether or not you wanted that content on or off, but now they're just outright completely removing it.
So the question is, who decided that the toggle wasn't enough? Was it a decision on the developer's part, or did Steam or PlayStation push for it? Or
no, the developers made the decision themselves.
Oh. Well, what about the whole argument of that's not the devs' intention and play it the way the devs want? If that's the way the devs want it, is to remove it because they have regrets about it.
Aki saying the shooting yourself thing was actually an important part of the story, which kind of sucks. Oh.
Well, like, maybe there's a revision around it.
Is the VR game different than the Mind Control Delete that I played? Is it the same?
I don't know how different they are. They're close to the same thing. I don't know if they're exactly the same. I really don't know.
I never ran into anything in that regard in Mind Control Delete. But also... it was a roguelike, and that doesn't mean I made it all that far. That's one of those, like, I played shit out of it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to beat it kind of games.
Yeah.
But I could see it being, Aki said shooting yourself in the main game non-VR was a thing. I can see where it, like, fits into the story, but I can also just see there being other options for ways to handle it. So, I don't know.
Oh.
I feel...
Well, it's done. The decision is made. It's happened. There's nothing we could really do about it. Some people are going to be pissed, and if you're pissed, oh well. There's nothing you can do about it except bitch.
Yeah.
That's the news I have. Jacob, anything you wanted, or Cole, anything you want to talk about? Is it being removed from non-VR 2? I don't know. They weren't entirely clear. Well, I would assume
if you said all platforms, then...
The wording I saw said they would bring it to all VR platforms.
Oh, okay.
They didn't specify whether or not the non-VR version would be affected.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I do have news stories.
What do you got?
Surely. All right. So, Ratchet and Clank costumes are coming to Fall Guys in August. Or actually, sorry, a couple days from now. So, the first one is going to be themed around Ratchet. And it's from the 26th of July to August 1st. And then there's a second event based on Clank, and it's August 6th through the 15th. And then there's just like a bunch of banners, patterns, and emotes, stuff like that that you can also get in there. So if you still play Fall Guys, I guess that's cool.
Nifty.
If we're
talking about stuff like that, season 2 of Knockout City is starting soon.
I was going to say, I did see an article about that.
I am very excited about that.
Why is that?
Because I love Knockout City.
Well, no it's shit.
A new map.
Yeah, new map, right, new ball.
Thank you, Cole. At least you added something to it. All right. So, like, what does this new ball do, Joe?
I don't know. I don't know if it's been revealed yet. Ball. Is it a soda ball? Did they unveil all the details about it?
They showed a whole video. It's a Fight at the Movies theme, and it's coming out July 27th. There's going to be a new map, the new soda ball, and then there'll be new rewards.
Yay.
They didn't give any details of like how the soda ball was going to work. They just showed soda ball.
That's cool.
Maybe it'll trap you in a bubble and you'll float up.
I don't know. It looked like it kind of went splat and like made your screen look kind of yuck, but
we'll see.
That's fair.
It was kind of quick, so I didn't really. Don't quote me on that.
You've been quoted.
We're all going to quote you.
Yep. Too late. Already happened.
All right. So Warner Brothers is making an animated movie based on Injustice: Gods Among Us. It's going to come out this fall. Straight to video, which has been the norm for the DC animated movies. And it's going to be based on the very first game, but also the year one comic book release. They also gave the cast of it, which you can look up. I don't think it's anything to get too excited about. But, I mean, sorry, the cast list is nothing to get too excited about. I'm excited to see the movie.
Yeah.
DC's movies have always, or the animated movies have always been quality, so that should be pretty cool. Take-Two is removing some old GTA mods using DMCA notices.
That's always nice.
Yeah, some of these mods are over 15 years old, and they're just now starting to get rid of them. From what I've read, it seems like these are all total conversion maps, or ones that try to expand. Or, I mean, I guess this would technically be total conversion, but it's ones where they try to add in the cities from Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, and they pop them into other GTA games. Like, there was a a TC mod for Vice City that ported GTA 3 into Vice City, so then you could play both places. And that one was actually released back in 2005. A lot of people believe that with Grand Theft Auto 6, we're going to be getting a huge, huge, huge fuck-off world, which might include multiple, areas that we've explored in Grand Theft Auto, which is why they might be getting rid of these, or it could just be the Take-Two's being a bag of dicks. So, who knows?
I'm going to go with bag of dicks.
Yeah, they do seem to have been pretty DMCA friendly as of late. So, ModDB has been warning its users to tread carefully because they're expecting more notices in the near future for old GTA mods. Take-Two hasn't said why they're suddenly going after all this stuff. However, they did change the guidelines for why they would take down mods, with the notice saying this does not apply to use or importation of other IP, including other Rockstar IP in the project, or making new games, stories, missions, or maps. So technically, I mean, it's not even technically, I mean, these things fall under those guidelines. It's just, again, why is Rockstar suddenly giving a shit?
No.
Take Two. Sorry, man, I keep selling the name of Rockstar. So there's that. Warframe is getting cross-play and cross-save.
Nice.
Yeah. Hooray.
Hooray. Dude, that's why I don't bring up everything.
Let's see. Playdate pre-orders go live on July 29th, if you remember that thing. It's the tiny little handheld system that has a crank that will help power it. Pre-orders go live at 10 a.m. Pacific time. You can either get a standalone for $179 or it comes bundled with a cover for $199. However, they're also going to sell the same cover as a pre-order for $29. So,
yeah, I'll be passing.
I honestly don't know anyone that is excited about it. So, I mean, good luck to them. I mean, that'd be kind of neat if, like, there's this, like, little indie thing that can somehow take on Nintendo.
We know.
All right, shut up.
All right, one more thing, and then we'll move on to reviews.
All right, fine.
End with a high note.
Well, we're going to... All right, fine. Then we will talk about my favorite story of the last week, in which case a War Thunder player decided that he had to win an argument with, you know, with the company that makes War Thunder. It's an MMO that has all sorts of military vehicles, like planes, tanks, like jeeps, all this kind of stuff, and you can use them to battle against other people and blah 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 blah, so on and so forth. And he's telling them, oh yeah, this one tank, it's wrong, and, like, you know, that's not how it actually handles, and this is, like, as you know, guys that don't have it built correctly. And the makers are like, well, this is, you know, what we believe it is like, you know, this is the best we could do. And so what does he do? He posts classified documents from the British government as to how the Challenger 2 tank is actually built.
Jesus.
And they believe that the person who did it is a commander in the Royal Tank Regiment for the UK. And they uploaded screenshots, which were from the Army Equipment Support publication of the Challenger 2 tank. Gaijin Entertainment did remove them and also told people, yo, like, we appreciate that some of you are really gung-ho about all this kind of stuff. Please do not post classified documents. Like, you should know not to do this. And the British government also stepped in about it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did not see that story.
Yeah, one of their moderators said, we have received written confirmation from the Ministry of Defense that this document remains classified. By continuing to disseminate it, you are in violation of the Official Secrets Act, as stated by the warning on the cover of the document, an offense which will carry up a 14-year prison sentence if prosecuted. Of this, you're already aware. As a service person, you have signed a declaration that you understand the act and what actions it compels you to take. Every time you post this, you place us, international representative of Gaijin, especially in UK citizens, in hot water, as the warning is so helpfully states that the unauthorized retention of a protected document is an offense. So, fucking yikes.
Cole, what do you think of that one?
Okay.
Someone's not paying attention.
I don't know. Jacob's voice just kind of went over my head.
See, like, I have a nice calming effect on Cole. She hears my voice and she's just like, ugh.
I mean, you could call it, like, calm if I'm sitting here dying from boredom, but it's fine.
Are you guys ready for reviews?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on with this show. First game to talk about tonight is called Lost at Sea, developed by Studio Fizbin, published by Head Up, released July 15th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $14.99. What are the most important moments in your life? Lost at Sea is a game about life and death, about coming to terms with your past, and about family. Set on a beautiful island, this game will force you to face your fears and take stock of your life through imaginative puzzles and a relatable story. Paul, tell us about your time with Lost at Sea.
I got lost
Was it at sea?
I wasn't even at sea. That's the sad part, because I landed on an island where I was surrounded by memories, and I was like, this is very confusing, because I thought I was going to be lost in the ocean, but I'm really just lost on the island, and I'm being chased by my fears, and I'm supposed to look at them when they chase me and face my fears, but then they kill me anyway, and then I die when I fall from too high of a rock, and then I randomly find a cave with a life stage in it, and I'm supposed to remember being a kid, and then I have to go and find things that match the memories to complete the memories, but every time I try, the fear kills me. I'm very confused by this game. I thought I was going to like it a lot more than I did, because I have a penchant for the unusual artsy-fartsy kind of games that are basically like narrative-driven walking simulators. So realistically, Lost at Sea should have like ticked all my boxes. Yeah,
this one, like, I got it and I'm like, hey Cole, do you want this? It looks like a Cole game.
Yeah, it was like the perfect Cole game. But when I was trying to play it, I just felt the whole time like everything I'm doing is frustrating me more than actually pushing the story along. There was limited control, so I couldn't, like, increase the sensitivity or anything, so you're moving kind of slow. There's not a whole lot of explanation. It does tell you, oh, hey, you have a compass, you can pull the compass out. If the compass is lit up, you're safe. If the compass goes dark, you're in trouble. Everything goes this weird purple-orange contrast color when the fear is coming, but there's no proper explanation on when you can expect it, what you should do when you're expecting it, how to actually manage it, other than just it says, well, challenge the fear head on. And like early in the game, if you just look at it, it's fine. But the more you go through, the less that actually does anything. And it doesn't really help move you along with that. Hmm. It just kind of expects you to know what to do, but it never tells you what to do. And you just don't. Because it's one of those situations where, like, it's kind of obscure and odd and unusual. And that's okay. But if you're going to have a game like that, then it needs to tell you how to make sense out of the world it's giving you. And Lost at Sea really doesn't do that. I feel bad because I feel like I'm ragging on it pretty hard. Because, again, it should have been the game for me, and I should have really enjoyed it more than I did. But I feel like I didn't get as much of the story out of it as I could have. There's not a lot of, even though it's a narrative-heavy game, there's not enough of piecing the narrative together for it to make sense. And I think part of that is because you can explore on your own, you're not picking up bits of the story in any kind of order. So then you find yourself with little bits and pieces that are all chopped out of context.
Hmm.
It's not as bad as it sounds. Like, I feel terrible. I'm really hitting this one hard, and I'm sorry. It looks nice. It's a visually stunning game. I like the way that they actually have the world full on change color. And everything just goes dark and the fear creeps in and is actually a visible force. I just wish I knew what to do about it.
Yeah.
So, all that said, I tend to be a little more on the hesitant try it side for a game like this. Because it's already pushing it with like being a niche-y kind of game.
Yeah.
But without some solid control options for one and some solid explanation of what you need to be doing so that you can actually get the most out of the narrative and experience it the way that they really want you to.
No.
It's a lot harder of a sale.
Well, it's only $15. Normally games like this we might see at the $20 or $30 range. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm still gonna roll more with a try it for it. Like, there's definitely somebody out there who's going to have more patience and be able to like extract more from the game than I did. But I just got so lost and so overwhelmed in it that I felt like I couldn't actually enjoy it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, next game to talk about is called Mousebot Escape from Cat Lab, developed and published by Vector Unit, released July 21st on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $4.99. Guide Mousebot through mazes of fantastical mechanical mousetraps created by the cat scientists of Cat Lab. Dodge giant metal kitty crushers, leap over mouse-grinding roller graders, evade scary mines and lasers, and platform your way across pools of bot-melting acid on an epic quest for cheese and freedom. Jacob, tell us about your time with the game you've been dying for.
So, with Mousebot, you know, as Joe so eloquently discussed with the introduction for it, you're playing this little robot that you have to guide through this maze. You have to collect all these little bits of cheese. And if you listen to one of the previous episodes where we got to interview Matt from Vector Unit, we talked about all the differences between the original mobile version and what's out now. So not only are you collecting cheese now, but you're also, and the Easter eggs, of course, mm-hmm. But you're now also collecting these like little heart chips, which help give you extra lives, which believe me, as the game goes on, you're going to need more and more of them. So pretty much you're just navigating through all these little obstacles, whether it's like these little spike roller things, whether it's buzzsaws that come out of the walls, lasers, pools of acid, you know, water hazards like mines, stuff like that. You just have to dodge them all. Now, if you played the original like I did, you know, it was pretty straightforward. The new version has a sidestep or juke feature to it, which either moves the mouse bot very quickly to the left or right, whichever way you want it to go. And it's an interesting challenge. It really is.
Yeah.
Because, when I was first playing it, even though the game had already introduced that new feature, I was still trying to play it like on mobiles. And, you know, the game is already challenging enough. And the sidestep feature I found to be helpful, but I definitely need more work on it.
You know what else is helpful?
What's up?
No Time for Games coming in with a sub for the 37th month.
Woo.
How crazy is that? Thank you so much, No Time. Always good seeing you here. Hey, kids. 37 months. Jeez, that is entirely too long I've been doing the show.
That's gross. Yeah.
Cole, did you get to play Mousebot?
I didn't. I forgot.
You are a wiener.
Well, I felt bad because where I was missing the interview because I was sick, I didn't feel like I deserved to redeem the code. I felt bad.
And what'd you do with the code?
It's still in my messages. I haven't
used the goddamn code.
Yes, redeem the code, Cole.
It's like, gonna go unused. What the hell are you gonna do?
I would remember at some point to be like, hey, you need to like do a giveaway or something with that code because I didn't feel like I deserved it. I didn't earn it.
You need to redeem it and play it tonight.
Okay.
Play it during Jacob's next review.
Okay.
It's definitely more fun than listening to me talk.
Jacob, tell us more about it.
That's a ringing review. So as you go through all the levels, you collect cheese, which pretty much all it does is just unlock, you know, either little patterns that you can have your mouse dressed up in, and also accessories as well. The accessories and the patterns that you can unlock for your mouse don't really help the game at all. It's just a fun addition. Although there is an achievement attached to getting everything. So, you know, you might as well just do it. And so you just go through the 10 worlds and you eventually face off against, you know, the final boss, which was not present in the original mobile version of the game. So pretty much it's a really well-made game. The gameplay's tight. It feel like, you know, it's as fun, like, I'd actually say this feels more right than it did on mobile with the little handheld thing that I had for it. And at the same time, this is also a game that is very challenging, especially when you get to, like, World 4 and up. As Matt said, it's our most controller-throwing game. and I'm in agreement. Like, there were times where my wife was just looking at me and she's like, you realize you're getting really, really, really angry at a mouse robot game, right? And I'm like, yes, I'm aware. but it's a lot of fun. It's totally worth it, and it's only $5. Like, holy crap, Vector Unit always makes these great-looking games that take up, like, no space on your hard drive.
It's like 100 meg or some shit. It's ridiculously small.
It's barely over, like, I think it's like 146 or something like that. But yeah, it's a blip on your hard, it's a blip on your hard drive. And it's totally worth it. For $5, like, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, 141.7. There we go.
Yeah.
That's how big the frigging game is. That's it.
And hopefully it takes off, because Matt said that, you know, they were looking at other stuff for it if the game does well. So everyone, buy this game. It's $5. You need to buy it. You need to buy it for your friends. You need to buy it for your grandma. Everybody needs a copy of Mousebot. It's one of my favorite games that I got to play, that I got to review for my phone. And right now it's one of my favorite games on my Xbox. And it's always going to be one of my favorite games on my Xbox. So, hell yeah.
Given it's only 140 meg, you'll never uninstall it.
Exactly. Well, I don't think I'd actually uninstall it anyway. But still, yeah.
There are so many tiny games that I still have installed on my system that I never uninstalled just because they're like 100 or 200 meg. I'm like, fuck it. They're small. I'll leave them there.
Yeah.
And they'll never go away. And this is one of them, because it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And you can actually get achievements in this one.
That's true. And I honestly, like, with it taking off, I hope that they do explore other stuff. I think, like, it would be really neat to have, like, some sort of multiplayer in it. And
multiplayer might be a bit ambitious for a $5 game.
I understand that. I mean, but that's also something I would be willing to pony up extra money for. But it's just like, I really do hope that other avenues are explored with this game, because I think it could be a lot of fun. With online or party capabilities.
Well, so, let's hope it takes off. So,
yep.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Ice Cream Surfer, developed and published by Dolores Entertainment. Released July 16th on Xbox One for $7.99. The evil broccoli, irritated by the fact that kids hate vegetables and love ice cream, has created an army of vegetables to destroy the flavor galaxy. Only the Ice Cream Surfer, with the help of his four super tasty friends, can prevent that. Jacob, tell us about your time with Ice Cream Surfer.
So, apparently this thing is based on a comic. I'm not familiar with it at all, but I mean, if it's a comic that came out within, like, the last 7 years since I've had kids, that doesn't surprise me at all that, you know, I'm not familiar with it. But, yeah, so you're playing this one of... crap, did this thing drop again?
No.
Okay. Dude, I'm just hearing noises from Skype doing, like, the... like, it... And I'm just like, great, the call must be dropping again. Huh. Okay, anyway, So you can either play as the Ice Cream Surfer, or you can play as all these other characters who are all floating around on, like popsicles and, like, all sorts of these other frozen treats. And it's essentially just a shoot 'em up, and you're just, I mean, the game says that they're vegetables, but some of the stuff is clearly not vegetables, and it's just weird little, I don't know.
There's light bulbs and...
Yeah, it's all sorts of weird stuff, and you just have to shoot them up. But what I thought was kind of weird is that, like, your laser doesn't really go across the screen, so it's like you really have to start getting up close to some of them. And then there's, like, a power bar, which, you know, eventually, like, you can release, like, some sort of, like, a super attack. But it never felt like the super attack actually, like, really worked half the time. And it's just... Like, the character models were, like, you know, interesting. Like, it looks cute, it looks fun, but it's just the gameplay was just dull and also felt broken.
I can agree that it... I don't know if it's broken, but yeah, this is...
So I would say... Well, I don't know. I mean, I would say it is. I mean, like, your shots don't, like... like, they don't ever feel like they do anything, and on top of it, like, they don't seem to actually... go, they barely make it halfway across the screen.
Well, you have to collect the popsicles to power up, first off.
Well, right. I mean, because you have to collect the popsicles, and you have to collect how it says ice cream on each level. And then, of course, you have to defeat multiple bosses as you go through. I mean, it's standard shoot 'em up stuff, but it's just...
Which leads to my biggest gripe with the game, is that you can start the game, collect all the popsicles, start doing really well... have a really good build going, take out some bosses, and then you die once and you're back to step one, and the game isn't worth playing because you have no power.
It honestly never felt fun.
I had fun with it. I had fun until I died the first time. And then I just intentionally lost the rest of my lives.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. It just, like, I feel like there's a lot of better games in this genre, obviously. And it's just, I don't know. I didn't have fun with it, and I can't really recommend it.
Well, $8, your verdict?
Absolutely not. Like, I mean, I if it's on sale for like 3 or 4, I'd be like, if you're a fan of the genre. Otherwise, there's way better other examples out there.
Like, I can agree there's better games out there, but on its own, I enjoyed it for what it was.
Not $8, though, man. No way. Five tops. Like, I can't stand by a game that has this kind of gameplay issues with. I mean, and the thing is, yeah, you could write it up as, oh, well, this is like, you know, it's got to have a level of difficulty to it. And it's just like, there's a difference between difficulty and just bad, like, design. Like, in this.
Well, then what would you do to fix it?
Honestly, I'd actually have, like, something that explained how the game worked. Because the game doesn't explain itself at all. Like, there's nothing in the settings that, like, is even, like, remotely like an instruction manual. Because there's more to it. Like once you collect all the stuff and, you know, you can unlock, like, the super attack or whatever, you know, it doesn't explain how you actually fire that thing off. It doesn't explain, like, how lives work. It doesn't explain, like, oh, well, this is what happens when you die. It doesn't explain, like, it's just like, all right, here you go. You're in the game world. You've played shoot 'em ups. We assume that you're going to be able to figure this out, and it's going to be like every other shoot 'em up game that you've ever played, except it's not, though. And it's just, like, there's that. And then also, it's just like, with how frequently you die, like, cited as your example, like, once you've died once, you lose everything that you've built up to. And so it's just, no. And the thing is, this game's been around since 2015, and they're just still shipping it out like this? No. No. Sorry. I can't recommend it.
Oh, well. I didn't hate my time with it. I thought it was fun and cute. My biggest gripe is, again, once you lose one time, you're just so weak and powerless that there's no point in trying to continue. So it would be better off if there was, you know, if you died and your power-ups were floating around and you could pick some of them back up to rebuild yourself to at least have some form of attack against enemies once you're a level or two in and something kills you. I don't know. Anyway, that's it for you, Jacob. We will let you get going.
I will say this about the game. It is $3 up on Steam, so maybe try it out there, and then
there you go.
You know, if you like it enough, pick it up for $8 on Xbox. But yeah,
$3 a better buy then.
Yeah, I mean $3. I mean, I'd still be like, it's not a great game, but $3, I wouldn't bitch about that price.
All right. Well, do you have any final words before we let you go?
Balls.
Wonderful.
Fart. Taint.
Wonderful.
Taint again.
Cool. All right. Moving on. Cole, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Next game to talk about is Cuyo Blaster, developed by Team Robot Black Hat and Forever Entertainment, published by Forever Entertainment, released July 16th on Xbox One for $9.99. Cuyo is a horizontal shoot 'em up with peculiar characters, strange enemies, bullets, and many explosions. Enter the miniature world and stop the threat. Cole, tell us about your time with Cuyo Blaster.
It's a shmup. That pretty much tells you 95% of what you need to know about this game.
Yeah.
You go, am I gonna like that game? And you go, do you like shmups? And you'd be like, yeah. And then, like, where you go? Okay. You kind of sold on it already. As far as shmups go, it does have a few shortcomings. It's got this really detailed pixel art style, and there's a story that's told throughout these little like comic style cutscenes that are all in the same pixel art. But the choice to use the pixel art for the text means it's fucking impossible to actually read anything. It's really, really hard to read the text in this game. It's green on green, and it's pixel art. It got to a point where I was like, well, I tried, and I just started skipping the cutscenes. The bigger problem, though, is that when you're actually choosing the character you're going to play with, there's some differences between the weapons you can have and the types of ships you have. And I was completely reliant on just the little box that showed how much damage and how many shields and stuff that the different ships had. Because you couldn't tell any difference between the ships when you were cycling through them. And you couldn't read the pixel text that was over top of them. Because like there's a scan line effect too that you can't turn off. And you just, it was completely illegible. I have no idea what anything is named. I don't have any idea if there's any details about it other than what's in that box. Your guess is as good as mine. It was all just a jumbled mess. And I was so frustrated. I was like, I can sit and look at this for 3 years and figure it out, or I can just push the button and start the game because I know it's a shmup. So I'll let you figure out which one I did. It's a shmup, and you're just going to be shooting at enemies as they fly across the screen. Eventually, you'll make your way to a boss fight. You shoot it, you kill it, you move on. You'll go through several boss fights, and then you'll get to the big boss, and that's the end of the game. I did run into a hitch that kind of pissed me off. The first time I played, I got all the way to the end of the boss. Now, there's an achievement for playing the game and not using any continues. And my first thought was, fuck that, I'm not interested. If I die, I die. We're going in guns blazing. So I get in there, and I'm going through several waves of enemies, several bosses. I'm chewing through them, make a pretty good time. Around the fifth one, I die for the first time. By the seventh, I've had to use a continue. And then eventually I get to the final boss. I've used a couple continues up to this point, and the game has never kicked me out, never said I had a limited number of continues, never said that I couldn't keep pressing continue. I chew through the boss. I'm down to maybe five more hits is going to kill it, and I get bopped, and then it says game over. I'm sorry, what? I've been pushing continue this whole time. You never told me that I couldn't just push continue. If you're going to have a limited continue system, fucking tell somebody. Okay? I could understand, too, if I were playing on normal. But I was playing on Super Pussy Crybaby mode. And if it's not going to punish me for pressing continue multiple times, it doesn't just get to randomly do it out of the blue at the end of a boss. The end of the game. The whole
game. Well, I'm sure it wasn't randomly. I'm sure there was a set number. It just doesn't.
When it doesn't tell you, you know? Like, if it's not going to tell you, then you're just like, well, that was just out of the blue. You've been letting me do it up until now. Why not now? So there at least needs to be something that says, hey, you cannot press that button again. Be more careful. Because I was ready to push the button again. And then I was just mad. And then I went back and chewed through it again. And it's fine and it's fun and the story's okay. It's a little random when this adorable hamster looking thing is like calling people bastards out of the blue. You're just like, okay, I didn't deserve that, but fine. I don't know if he's yelling at me. I don't know if he's yelling at the enemies. It's too hard to read and I was passing it up. But I did like the character designs. The boss battles were interesting, kept me engaged. I didn't mind to go back and play it again, even though I was pissed that the continue was not giving me a heads up of how many I had. So I didn't mind to play it. I just wish that for the sake of quality of life, there were a few improvements. Fucking scan lines being one of them.
Yeah. Well, $10 on it. What do you think of Kyo Blaster?
I'm okay going with a try. If you're into shmups and you know you already enjoy shmups, you're probably going to have a good time with it. Don't let this be your first shmup, though.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So maybe clean up the text and make things a bit more clear.
It's basically just quality of life type of stuff, isn't it? Yeah. Get rid of the scan lines, do a little better on the text, give us some more contrast on the text boxes so it's a little easier to read the story. The text when you're selecting your character could definitely be cleaned up. It could be a little easier to see the differences between the robots, because once you're actually playing the game, the differences between the ships are really obvious. So the fact that they're not so obvious when you're choosing is really kind of weird. So again, just quality of life.
Cool. All right. Well, next game to talk about is Gaps by Paugi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released July 20th on PS4 and PS5, 21st on Xbox One and Series X and S, 22nd on the Switch for $7.99. Deduce the correct letters to fill the gaps and spell a new word, but watch out for red herrings. There are 150 puzzles to solve and 150 terrible jokes to uncover. Paul, tell us about your time with Gaps by Paugi.
I got two achievements for spelling penis. One for actually spelling penis and another one for putting all the wrong letters in the boxes. That was time well spent. I should get another achievement just for telling you I spell penis. It was wonderful.
Lightwood Games is going to hear this and just be thrilled that this is... this is what their review code has gone towards.
They're the ones that made the achievement.
True, they are the filthy ones.
I just did what they wanted me to. I'm out here doing the Lord's work.
So what do you do in this game?
So the game has a series of boxes for each puzzle, and each box is tied to a letter that is missing from a word from a list. So the letters, the list could have, say, like, shop, but the last letter's missing, right? But it could also be shot. So you need to pick the right letter to finish the word for the corresponding box, and then all of the missing letters will come together to form another word. Is that making sense? Because that's kind of... this is kind of hard to describe on this one. So you may think that the word that's in the list might be work, but it might actually be worn. So then if you put in a K, your box of letters is going to be wrong and not spell out a proper word. However, at the same time, doing that can help you figure out and through the joys of deductive reasoning, you'll eventually sleuth out what the actual lists are supposed to be and also the box altogether. Shit ton of puzzles. Shit ton of puns to go with those puzzles, because that's what Paugi Games do.
Yep.
Delightful in every way. Pretty easy to play.
Like, want to hear a chimney joke? I've got stacks of them. First one's on the house. Ha!
I cry.
Love it.
It is a little antagonizing to be all like proud of yourself and be like, yeah, I fucking figured out that puzzle in 30 seconds, bitches, and then you get greeted with a pun for your effort.
That makes it so much better. Such a beautiful reward. It's a reward that every time you get it, you're just like, ugh.
I asked for that. Yeah. I didn't just ask for that. I paid money for that.
So this
one,
I
do not know if that was or was not a fair trade.
Well, it's your job to tell us. It's $7.99. Is that a fair trade for this game? And I want to know, because I haven't picked this one up yet. So is it worth my money?
Yeah, actually, this is probably one of my favorite of the Paugi games that I've played so far. This is just my kind of word puzzle, and so I really had a good time with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, next up is Dr. Autonomous, developed by Piku A, published by Xenolon, released July 21st on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $4.99 each. It is not a cross-buy title. But you get separate achievement lists, and that's what everybody's here for. Dr. Autonomous is a short platformer with Metroidvania elements and a cool sci-fi story. Unveil the secrets of the fourth dimension. Run from your cruel master, or is there a way to make peace? Cole, tell us about your time with Dr. Autonomous.
So apparently there is some kind of disease or virus or something that has negatively affected humanity, and a mad scientist has discovered a way to use atoms to A-T-O-M, atoms, to create a cure. In doing so, he has created a sentient atom, and that is you. And you don't want to be used to create a cure. So you break out of the lab when the scientist is gone, as you do. And then you've got to platform your way around the laboratory to get keys and collect coins. I don't know what an atom would do with a coin, but here we are. You collect coins, get keys, and if you're particularly lucky, then you can get additional electrons to charge up your atom with new abilities. So you can get double jump, for example, or a crouch, or the ability to shoot. Then, in typical Metroidvania style, you can backtrack and explore other things and find new stuff. It's all very simple. Black background, white boxes, blue atom. There are computers that give you tips, and they have a little bit of exposition for story. It's one of those that you just kind of go, I will play this while I'm in a meeting in another window, and nobody will know I am playing this in another window, unless you have the screen present, in which case you're fucked. But but that's kind of the glory of these games for me, is like they often feel like they're like little games that are created during a weekend game jam, or one somebody spent a month or so kind of coming up with and put together, and they're not over the top. They're not games that you're gonna spend 3,000 hours in, but for you know, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour's worth of enjoyment, they're more than worth what they ask for them, and I'm okay with that. Plus, then you get easy achievements.
Yeah, your official verdict at $5.
Yeah, fuck it, why not? Buy it.
Then the question, yeah, do you buy it once? Do you buy it twice? Do you play it once? Do you play it twice? What do you do with this thing?
I think you could buy it twice. Just stack it, because you know in 2 days they're going to add more achievements to it anyway, so you might as well.
That's a Zedalon game. This one will get some updates. I'm not even mad
at that. Like, I know people get pissed about it, but shout out to them for finding their niche.
Yeah.
You carved this. You carved something out for yourself, and I'm not even mad at it. Please give me more achievements for 50 years, because I like that one.
I mean, that one's been updated quite a bit.
I know, but it needs it again. I think I've only got 3,000 in it, and it needs some more.
I think it's at 4,000. You have to get the fourth tier of it.
Oh, that's right. Maybe. But that means they can do another update, because there's a whole nother tier of everything. And that one might actually take 4 games to get through to get all of them.
Yeah, there you go. All right, final game to talk about. We're taking another look at My Maite, developed by Urantia Games, published by Phoenix Reborn Games, released July 23rd on Xbox One for $4.99. Maite is a very intelligent girl, but she lives over the moon. This is why your dad has to go there and bring her back to Earth in this 50 stages long incredible adventure. Jump over clouds, balloons, trampolines, and into special portals in order to get to the ending of this pixel art made beautiful game. Cole, Chris, and I talked about this one on the last episode on Windows 10. You got to check it out on Xbox One. What do you think of it?
So, it's a platformer, and I don't hate it. I think there's something incredibly sweet about the game, that the girl is just over the moon and the dad loves her so much that he has to go and get her. But there's also something a little weirdly patriarchal about that. That's an argument for another day. maybe I can withhold that argument for a game that doesn't cost $5. You know, it's a choice. But I do like that the concept, basically, she's on the moon over here, the dad is on the Earth over here, and you have to cross all of these different obstacles to get to her and bring her back. There are a fuck ton of levels, you want the achievements, you've only got to play 10 of them. But I do recommend that you play past that, because some of the levels actually get really creative and kind of fun. There's like this whole portal element that just sneaks its way in there later on. And you're like leaping through portals, and then it's even blue and orange. And I'm like, I understand that reference for a game that I never played. But yeah, I think as a platformer, it's plenty fine, and it's got plenty of levels, and I don't hate it. I enjoyed it. It was a good way to spend, you know, again, like Dr. Autonomous is one of those that it's a good way to spend, you know, 30, 45 minutes here or there.
And the cool thing I like about this game is if you're struggling with a level, you can skip it and just go to the next one. You can pick any level you want at any time.
Yeah, that's a nice touch.
Yeah, if you really want to, you could just go to level 50 and watch the ending.
That is a nice touch. I did not try that. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, if you get stuck on a level, just jump to the next one.
Go
back to the main menu, go to the level selection list, pick a level, and go back to it.
Huh.
So, yeah, $5, your official verdict.
Yeah, I give it a buy it.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, that's it for this one.
We did it!
We did do it. It took us a little bit to get going the first time, but...
Yeah, but after that, we speed ran.
Yeah, we did do pretty good. Not that bad.
We cut out all the bullshit. We knew what jokes were going to land and what weren't.
No, we didn't.
Well, Jacob didn't, but we did.
No, we didn't.
I did miss out on my Ignition R. Kelly joke again, though, because it just didn't hit the same for me the second time around.
What are you gonna do? Do you have any final words to end the show?
Go play some easy gamer score games and have a good weekend.
This is the remix edition of a song about pissing. Chappelle Show for life, bitches.